Well, good morning to you, Grace Church, Chichester. Greetings from Guy here in sunny Bournemouth, wanting very much to be with you at a time like this, but also realising the limitations of a pandemic that we've all come through has meant that this has to go online, but very much wanting to send Heather my love for all of you for as a church. This has been an incredibly difficult season for the whole of the nation and for churches, and particularly for you with all the challenges I know that you're facing at the moment, and talking to Steve even last week in terms of just getting an understanding where things are and praying for you and trying to make sure that you feel supported and loved through this very, very difficult season. And as Steve and I chatted, we talked about how we have ourselves been so blessed and strengthened by being part of a New Frontiers Apostolic family. Now, of course, we are a branch of that family called Commission. And he felt, and I agreed with him, that it'd be very helpful just to underline that the importance of these gifts that Christ gave to his church to strengthen his church in moments like this, to support and to pray and encourage and put our spiritual arms around each of you so that you understand the heart of God and understand his ongoing purposes and his great desire for you as a church as you think about what lies ahead. So I'm going to look at, and it's going to be quite a speedy look at, the importance of Ephesians 4 ministries, particularly the apostolic. And I hope this acts as both a reminder, but for many of you perhaps for the very first time, why this is such an important thing in the life of a church. It's not a consultant coming in to give some expertise. This is about a family and spiritual mums and dads helping family through moments of crisis so that we can learn together, we can help one another, we can pray for one another, stand firm alongside each other. And so it's really a foundational importance that this is in our individual lives, but also in the life of the church. And when you think of foundations, you are immediately aware that they are a hidden component in everything that we see and do, whether we drive through a tunnel, drive over a bridge, whether we climb up high in the Shard, whether we're living in our house or driving on a road, we forget that each of those buildings has a foundation underneath them. And it's only when that foundation is missing or undermined or destroyed that we see the great devastation that happens as a bridge collapses or a tower fails and lives can be lost. And what I want to remind you of as we just look at this important, these important gifts, is firstly the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. He says this: "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Just a simple story by Jesus, and yet so powerful in terms of our own individual life. I know there'll be people who are listening and maybe have been tempted to build their life on sand, the sand of public opinion, of what is the world thinking on this issue, trying to please people, trying to fit into a social media world. They've built their life on sand. And it says, great was the destruction, great was the fall of this house. But Jesus says there's a life that is built on his word. And that house remains. Whatever storms, whatever COVID throws our way, there is strength. Building our life, building our family, building our marriages on the rock of God's word and not what is popular or the latest opinion or what feels best, and we choose our own way. So we can think of foundations for our personal life, but we also need to think of our foundations with our church life. It's very important the church is built on the right foundations. It can look good. I lived in a house as a child where a house in front of our house in Cornwall, in Mullion Cove, collapsed one night into the sea, but the front of the house remained and remained there for many, many years. And you could drive past and think, there's a nice house. But behind it, there was nothing. The foundations had given way and the building had collapsed. It was dangerous. And so we can build churches which look good, which are popular, which people drive past, which has many admirers, but actually, in the end, Jesus says it will fall and collapse, and great is the destruction therein. So we want to make sure we're building, as a family and commission, our churches, which are built on the rock. And that's what we're going to look at today. If you turn in your Bibles, as I said, we're going to be sort of quick firing all the way through a number of really important texts. But the next text I just want to look at is Matthew chapter 28. Jesus speaks to the disciples, having told them that he was going to build his church in Matthew 16. He then gives them this great commission, a restatement, if you will, of the cultural mandate of Genesis 1, but now in the light of a new race, a new Adam, a new family that was being instructed that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, here we have the word of God again, to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So we have the living Lord Jesus incarnate, I will build my church. We have the risen Lord Jesus, the one who has conquered sin and Satan and death, who comes to his disciples and gives them the great commission to go into all the world and preach this gospel and make disciples of all nations. And then we have the ascended Jesus. If you turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 4, which is basically our text for the morning. Very well-known text if you're a New Frontiers person for many years. But let me read it to you, really important text. Chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ, that's the church, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Five-fold ministry that Paul says are the building gifts, the architects, the structural engineers, the bricklayers and plumbers and ground workers who are given by the ascended Christ, the one who is now ascended and with all authority at the right hand of his Father, as he instructs us to build his church. He gives gifts. He didn't leave us on our own with a manual, with an architect's blueprint. He gives gifts to his church, and those gifts are gifts of men in order to equip the church, help the church, build the church, get the foundations right in the church so the church can be thoroughly equipped, the church can be fully mature, the church can know and exercise that presence of God in its community. So I'm going to briefly look at five F's in terms of the fivefold ministry. What connection to commission, what connection to apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastor, teacher ministry is there to do for the local church. And five F's, five metaphors that will help us to remember this: fighting, fishing, fathering, foundations, and fields. Let me start with fighting. In Ephesians 4, 8 to 10, Paul is actually quoting Psalm 68, 18. That's the psalm of military, David's psalm of military: may God arise and let his enemies be scattered. The chariots and horsemen of God are thousands and tens of thousands. It is the supreme conquering king psalm of God's rule and God's reign. And he talks about as God ascends, as God takes that highest place, he takes his gifts from the nations. He plunders the nations for himself. But Paul in Ephesians 4 changes it in one direction. Instead of taking gifts here, the ascended King of Kings, the ascended one in the heaven's highest place, gives gifts to his people in order for his people to know his heart, his love, his compassion, his grace, his favor, in order for his people to do their works of service, that they can be thoroughly equipped to do God's work here on earth. And so the first thing that you need to understand with apostolic ministry is it reminds us that there is a war on, that we aren't living at ease, that there is a spiritual forces at work and at play in our nation. There are powers at work against the church, and we need our spiritual eyes opening so we understand that we're fighting against our flesh, against the world, against the devil. And we do this by the word of God being active, living and active in our hands, a sword in our hands, but by reminding ourselves that as it closes in Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there are powers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There are dark spiritual forces at work that want to enslave and pull people away from God and into hell and into darkness and into destruction. Therefore, apostolic ministry it begins with saying, Paul saying, I'm praying for you and I want you to pray for me. Pray also in the spirit. Pray with all kinds of prayers on all kinds of occasions. Be devoted to prayer. I'm encouraging Grace Church Chichester to be a people that are praying at a season like this, crying out to God for your church, crying out to God for your leaders, crying out to God for the leaders of commission, that we come through this storm, we get safely to the other side of the lake. And I prophesy you will come to the other side of the lake. The storm won't be the last word. And when you come to the other side of the lake, there will be many, many crowds waiting for you. People from areas you have not considered, other nations you have not considered, waiting for you to bring the life of God into their situations. So New Frontiers, if you understand anything about New Frontiers, Terry Virgo, who started it, you'll know we're a prayer movement. The prayer and fasting was always central to our identity. The prayer meeting is the engine room of the church. And so I want to encourage you to build on this foundation. Be a church of prayer. Heather and I are praying for you. We're interceding. We're standing with you at a time like this. The next F is fathering. Ephesians 4 verse 14 says you will no longer be infants, you'll no longer be babies, you'll no longer drinking spiritual milk, you'll no longer be in your nappies, but you will in every way grow up into him. You'll become mature, attaining to the measure, the full measure of Christ as an individual and as a body together. Fathering is about having children, lots of children. I'm believing in commission that thousands of lives will be transformed as we together embrace this mission that our Heavenly Father has given us. But fathering never wants children to remain in nappies. It is always bringing about change, always addressing and challenging and bringing discipline for the children to grow up. I want to say, I think in our nation that parents have forgotten that they've been given this responsibility to parent. No one else has that. Your primary responsibility before God isn't to be a friend of your child, it's to be a parent of your child. To model for them and to bring them up with the fear and instruction of God so they grow up to be mature. And it's the same in the church. There can be loads of friends to the church. There can be loads of visiting speakers to a church. There can be loads of brilliant doctrine brought to a church on YouTube or by the latest big name in America. But Paul says, as he writes to the church, you haven't many fathers. And through the gospel, I became a father to you. In Commission Family, we are a family together. It's not a business. I'm not interested in numbers and statistics and who's the latest and best. This church has leaders that have been birthed in relationship, birthed out of relationship with me and with the apostolic team. We want to love you and father you through this very difficult situation. Heather wants to be a mother to you in that sense of loving and supporting in every way we possibly can. We believe that we're a family in a mission together, and families feel pain together, they hold together, they cry together, and they also celebrate the victories as they come. And so we want to stand with you at a time like this. We want to be intimate with you at a time like this. We want to send to you some of our best gifts, men like John and Tim, to you at a time like this, to let you know that the Father God is with you and the Father heart of apostolic ministry is standing with you in the moment of need. The third F is fishing. And for fishing, I want to take you back into Mark's gospel at the very beginning there, when Jesus begins his earthly ministry. And verse 16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing, note that word, their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Ephesians 4, if you're following closely, verse 20 talks about preparing God's people for works of service. It's the other time this word is used in the New Testament. In other words, the apostolic gift, the Ephesians 4 ministries are about preparing the church to fish. They are interweaving, sewing, connecting the strands of a net, and we're not talking about a lone fisherman here, the strands of the net in order to enable the church to let down its net and to catch a huge shoal of fish. Our interconnectedness, our familyness, our loving one another is to be so tight, so close, so committed that there isn't a space for a fish to get through. Any fish swims into the compass of the church, they're going to be caught up in this incredible family of God in that area that you're serving, and find themselves hauled into the boat, loved and brought into the presence of God. But I want Heather to read for us now a parable. It's called the Parable of the Fishermen, because I think one of the things that we can often do is forget this is a part of apostolic ministry. So listen to her as she reads this parable.
It came to pass that in the church the edict was passed that all the church was called to be a fishing boat, and all the members called to be fishermen. The church enthusiastically embraced the call, as all around them were oceans full of fish. The one thing they did not do was fish. Huge buildings were built to be fishing headquarters. Large, expensive printing presses produced pamphlets and guides on how to fish, where to fish, the habits of fish, and the psychological reactions of fish. Training centres were set up, and teachers would travel the length and breadth of the land, calling for people to fish, and that all the world was their fishing parish. You could get degrees in fishology. After one enthusiastic session, a young man bought a rod and went fishing. He caught a couple of large fish and returned to the training centre to report his success. People were amazed and compelled him to give up his rod and to enter upon a tour of the nations, teaching about his excellent catch. Can you imagine the look on their faces when they stood before Jesus and he said, "You are not fishermen. Fishermen catch fish. Is one really following Jesus if you're not catching men?
Powerful parable, isn't it? And it makes a very simple point that you and I, in our life, are meant to catch fish. Jesus asked that question. Friends, have you caught any fish? Let down your nets on the other side. We want to fish together as a family in commission. We want to set our nets and dry our nets and repair our nets in order that we can let them down in this post-COVID lockdown season and see many, many people born again. The next F is foundations. And here in Ephesians 2, verse 20, it talks about the church built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself the cornerstone. Verse 22 of that same chapter talks about where God lives or dwells by his Spirit. The church is built on foundations, the foundations of the apostles, the 12 plus Paul, and prophets, the prophets in the Old and New Testament. And the cornerstone of that foundation is Christ Jesus himself, unshaped by human hands, the one around which we are shaped, the church is shaped, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ministry, his word. We are shaped by him. We do not shape him according to what we think he should be like. And I don't know if you ever thought about this, but foundations consist of the same three basic ingredients: water, sand, or gravel or stone, and cement. And the skill of a foundation is each of those ingredients is mixed to a different way, in a different shape, and reinforced in a different way in order for a bridge, a tower block, a tunnel, a road to be constructed. And it's the skill of people, of men and women who have been trained that way to know how to lay a foundation, that enable that thing they've built to survive the stresses and strains, the storms, the rivers of life that come their way. And in this very same way, Ephesians 4 gifting are workmen who have been approved and given by the risen Lord Jesus Christ to know how to lay foundations into the local church and make sure that the lives of every believer and the church is built on this sure foundation. The rock, the stone, the aggregate is Christ Jesus. Peter, you are the rock. This confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Son of the living God, Jesus says, this is the rock on which I will build my church. So it's little wonder then when you get to Peter writing in 1 Peter 2, he talks about Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. That's the church belongs to Jesus. He's the beginning of it. He's the end of it, the capstone. He's everything to it, and it belongs to him. It's not a human institution. It isn't for any apostolic leader or church leader to determine how that church is built. It is for Jesus to build his church, and we are shaped by him. Who we are in Christ, our identity, our name, our mission is all of Jesus. But there's also water. Water is really important. Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. You must be born again by the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that moves and ministers. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit to his church in order to build his church and bring together these ingredients in order to build something, a church of observable glory. And so the Spirit is involved in revealing God's truth. It is involved in bringing us to repentance, in revealing Christ, in leading us into truth, in empowering us into mission, in bringing us into the Father's presence to know that cry of Abba Father. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we build a church, a temple in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. We are charismatic. We believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. We believe that Ephesians 4 gifts are for today, and we receive what the Holy Spirit has freely given. But we also need the cement, the stuff that binds it all together. If you notice throughout this message, Jesus said, who hears these words of mine and does them. We're men and women of the word. We believe in the authority of Scripture. We devote ourselves to Scripture. We love Scripture. We center Sundays around Scripture as you're doing this morning. And we know that Hebrews 4 verse 12 says the word of God is living. It's active. It's not something historic. It's not another book. It is the living word. These words live. They're the living words of God to us today. And the final F, let me finish with this, is fields. And if you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, I'll finish with this last ingredient. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says this. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who makes them grow. And he goes on to say, you are God's field. Apostolic ministry, Ephesians 4 ministry, is about farming. A farmer knows there are seasons. You're going through a season. Maybe it's a winter season or a spring season where the ground is being turned over. It feels like it's just mud. It feels like, where's the life coming from? But a farmer knows how to sow seed. It knows how to manure, how to get ready for a summer season. And I believe, friends, listen to this, a summer season is ahead, a season of huge harvest. Jesus says the fields are ripe for harvest. I believe this field around you in Chichester, down into Bognor, Midhurst, over into Haven, I believe these fields are going to come ripe for a huge harvest. And you need to be ready and prepared in order to take that harvest for Jesus Christ. That mission that you are on is a mission which is local. It is a mission which needs to be contextualized to the people you're trying to reach. But it's also a mission that we're in together. Commission is not something that you are part of joining like the AA for days of rescue. Commission is who you are and who we are together. We're family together. And we're believing God that the nations of the world are part of that mission. And together with our giving and with our giving away of leaders, we are reaching India, we are reaching America, Iberia, and huge other parts of the world are opening up for us. And we're in this together. I want to encourage you. We're going to see a vast harvest of the nations for God's glory together. These are fields God has given us. And there are new fields God is opening up. So in conclusion, this is, as I said, a great big broad paintbrush being used in terms of apostolic ministry. I want to say this to you at Grace Church. You're a key church in our family. And there is a battle on. And God will deliver you in this battle. You might feel in deep waters. You might feel like huddling in the back of the boat. But I want to say, let down your nets. There is a catch of fish that God wants to give you, even now as you emerge this year. You may feel the building is in danger of falling over. You might feel like the building project is on hold. We need to stop building. But I want to encourage you to go deeper, dig deeper, lay in that foundation. Make sure your life is built on Christ, on that cornerstone, that rock. Let your life, make sure your lives are centered around the word of God, open on a Godward side to the Holy Spirit like never before. You may feel like you're unloved. I want you to know you're very much loved, very much in our heart, very much cared for and prayed for at this point in time. That we are a family and we're standing with you in prayer. And that there are fields that God is giving you. The fields that may feel like mud, I want you to see by in the spirit, are green, there are shoots, and it will come forward to a day of great harvest. So let me just pray for you as I close. Lord, I just thank you for this precious church. I pray, encourage each member today to understand, Lord, we're not on our own. We're partners together. We're pulling together. We have people who love us and are with us who are going to help us to make sure that we safely get to the other side of the lake. I pray, Lord, for grace for every member to embrace this message, to look at this message deeper and to pull together with commission and with elders, Lord, to safely get to the other side of the lake. And I pray, Lord, for blessing after blessing of answered prayer, of solutions and resolutions, of miracles, Lord, that where the enemy has meant for evil, I pray, turn it around for good. And may we see, Lord, may we see at the end of this year, let's turn around and say, well, what man intended for evil, God meant for good. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.